Bible reading today is from 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 1 to 9. And in the NIV Bible is page 329 to 330. Israel asks for a king. When Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as judges for Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah, and they served at Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain and accepted bribes and perverted justice. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have." But when they said, "Give us a king to lead us," this displeased Samuel, so he prayed to the Lord. And the Lord told him, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king, as they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly, and let them know when the king who will reign over them will do."
Allô? Bonjour, rebonjour. Okay, can you hear me? I mean, which one? This is the one, right? Okay, good. Thank you for the reading. I've really enjoyed the worship as well. It's just nice to be sitting down and just being ministered to, and just through the body of Christ and the worship team is wonderful. Great theme, asking for a king. And I must say, when I used to read that passage, I used to not understand it. And hopefully this will become clearer as I share this morning. We read the text, and I like to, when we look at a Bible passage, I like to look at the greater scheme of things, of how it comes and where it comes in the Bible. So I'd like to have a first picture. Oh, I'm doing it actually, yeah. There you go. So its first picture, which shows the historical text in the Old Testament and as they relate to the whole Bible. So I've split it in two halves. The first half is from creation to David and Solomon, with the main figure who is Abraham, and the second half is from David and Solomon to the end of the Old Testament, when the people are exiled. And what appears, roughly speaking, when you look at the whole Old Testament, is that you have this big. This first half is when God reveals his salvation, his purpose to the people, and you have an upward movement. Everything is being great, and salvation is being announced, and how God's people can be in covenant with him. But as you look at the second part of the Bible, the Old Testament, you see there's a decline, a judgment. Why is that? Because the people of Israel are not going to obey the covenant that God has made with them at Mount Sinai. And so all the consequences of the covenant that were proclaimed by God in Deuteronomy 28, particularly, are applied to the people, and they lose progressively, they lose their blessings, and they end up losing their land. And you see first, there's a separation between the kingdom of Israel and kingdom of Judah, and progressively they will lose everything. Where does Samuel come in play? Well, Samuel is about that day, 1043 before Christ, and that's when he comes. And there you go. And so we can see that he comes in at a time where God is still revealing his purposes, and some of the things that God has in mind have not been put into place yet. And that's where he comes. Samuel is there have been 13 judges in Israel, and Samuel is the 13th judge, the last judge. He's a prophet of God. He's He doesn't mince his word when needs be. He's able to speak his mind, to speak God's mind. And then we see that something a bit difficult is happening to him and to the people of God. What happens is two things are not going well. First of all, we see that Samuel is getting old, and his sons are just not behaving. It seems that some of the things they haven't understood properly, and they're not behaving, and they're basically stealing from people. They're using their prerogative as leaders to use people, to steal, to pervert justice. That's the first thing. And the second thing, I'm trying to follow my own PowerPoint at the same time, is that they come with a request, and they say, well, you're old. What can I check here? Yeah. I'm a bit early. And you're old and your kids are not behaving. We want a king. We want you to appoint a king. And Samuel is not, he's not answering directly. He's saying, okay, this is wrong. And let me pray to God. He turns to God to get an answer from God. So this is when we're wondering why. And when I used to read this, I'm thinking, well, what's wrong? What's wrong with asking for a king? Well, they're just rejecting God, as it says. So we want to look more into that. Did God, were their requests out of boundaries when they're not supposed? Was their request not right? When you look at different texts, you say, well, the kingdom, having a king was planned by God. If you look in Genesis 17, I will make you very fruitful, I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. So God is saying that to Abraham way before our text. He talks about Sarah, I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. So God has in mind, kings is something that God has planned. In Genesis 35 to Jacob, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you and kings will be among your descendants. So God has kingdoms and kings in mind. Genesis 49, big piece of scripture. The Jacob's prophetic blessing to his son, the scepter, what's the scepter? It's a sign of kingship, will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to him it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations shall be his. So we have a scripture saying a king will come. Deuteronomy, when you enter the land, God says through Moses, when you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you and have taken possession of it and settled in it, and you say, let us set a king over us like all the nations around us. So God is saying, one day will come and you will be asking for a king. So what is wrong? What's happening here? Why is Samuel displeased, as we heard the reading? We go back to this verse and the problem is twofold. Where is the problem? First, they say, you are old and your sons do not follow your ways. Give us a king. What kind of king? Appoint a king such as all the other nations have. The people of Israel are looking around. They've got Samuel, the prophet, the displeased, the discontent. And they come to Samuel and say, give us a king like the other nations have. That's the first thing. And then Samuel turns to God, and God tells him, it's not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. So that's where the problem is. Give us a king like the other nations have, and they reject, through that, they are rejecting the Lord God. It gives us something to think already. What is a king? A king is someone you submit to, and Alex this morning has talked about the king at the beginning of the service, very much the king. What does it mean? Well, the king is the one you obey, the one you submit to. And there's a spiritual principle at work. Whoever you submit your life to, you obey. Whoever you take instructions from, there goes your life. So you can begin to see where we're going this morning. Peter says, when talking about false teachers, and the way they seduce people, that's in 2 Peter 2. People are slaves to whatever has mastered them. We can always already begin to think, who is my master? Who am I submitting my life to? Generally speaking, but also in detail. Who is my master? We go back to scriptures and we see that God from the beginning is king. And as you reach through scriptures, you look in Psalms, in many places, God says he is the king. The Lord reigns forever and ever. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's creator, your king. And in our text from this morning, but they have rejected me as their king. God is the king. So what was his purpose in having a king? Well, he wanted, basically, that the king who is on earth would fully and wholly and honestly, in the best of ways, represent him, represent his kingship. And what we've seen is that they don't want that kind of kingship. They want a king, huh? What kind? Like ones, the kings of the other nations. And God says, they have done from the day, they've been rejecting me from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day. We just took the bread and the wine, which means that we are in covenant with God through Jesus Christ. Likewise, they were in covenant with God. Mount Sinai, Moses gets the two tables. They're in covenant with God. So we could say in New Testament language, their salvation is not at stake. They've made a choice, they've followed. They say God is our God. But practically, what are they saying? We want a king like the other nations have. We look at the ancient Near East, and what were those kings like? Well, they were bad. They were bad. Why? Well, they had lots of little nations, lots of shit towns and regions. Basically, you would have a king. You would have a god over the town. Then you would have a prophet or prophets. And then you have a temple. And basically, kings would be self-appointed. That they would say, okay, you need to worship this god. But basically, it would be resumed as you do what I tell you, and nations had to do what towns and regions would have to obey the local king and do whatever he wants. If you look at scripture elsewhere, you see that later on, actually, the kings of Israel will do as the nations have done. I think of Achab and Jehoshaphat when they fight against Syria, and they send for prophets. They have 400 prophets telling them that they can go to war. And what happens is that actually they find one prophet, Micah, I think, who says, no, you can't do that. You're not doing it. So they have a system of all the other nations at work in the nation of Israel. I've taken a picture. I found on Dropbox, I found Moses' files, and he had a picture like that. He must have used it at the time. And who is this? This is the goddess Ishtar, or Ashtarte, which you find in scripture as well. What was she like? Well, she was the goddess of fertility, of war, of different things. So it's very pagan, very idolatric, very, very dark. So lots of witchcraft happening. So that's what the nations around them. And 1 Kings 11 talks about the goddess of Ashtoreth, of Ishtar, and also the goddess of the Sidonians and Moloch. Who is Moloch? Moloch is the king that would ask for the people to sacrifice their children. Young babies would be sacrificed and burnt. So that's the kind of surrounding around the nation of Israel. And that's what they're asking. Give us a king like the nations around. So they're turning their back to God the king, God the good king. God wanted to be a good king, express his goodness, his will, his love to his people. So what does that leave us with? Well, let's go back to our text here, to our little diagram. All throughout the Old Testament, you have multiple prophecies that announce that there will be a perfect king one day coming. See, because the kings all throughout Israel, as I said, didn't work out the way God wants them, except for David, who almost got it right. But most of the others, they're judged on their faithfulness, and they don't show very much faithfulness. Some of them do, some of them don't. So God says, all throughout the Old Testament, I will send you a real king, a perfect king. And that's Jesus. That's what we're talking about, a covenant. Genesis 49 talks about the scepter. He to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations shall be his. Who is this? This is Jesus. Luke 1:32, the Annunciation to Mary. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. That's Jesus, the throne of his father David. Years before, in the year 1000, God says to David, you always have somebody after you who will be a king. Guess what? This is Jesus. Palm Sunday, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. When he got before crucifixion, they gave him a scarlet robe to mock him. So, oh, you want to be a king? Crown of thorns, a reed, as a scepter. Even in his being mocked, he was shown by God as being a king. Above his cross, what was says in three languages, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. When he rose from the dead, unto them saying, all powers is given unto me, said Jesus. He is the king. Have a revelation. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. So what is the difference? What is the difference between the kings of Israel, who were like the kings of the nations surrounding, and God's kingdom and the type of God, that type of king that God wants to give us? It's just a part. And I want us to think this morning about who is our king. Maybe most of us were in covenant with God because we have made a decision one day to say, I want to be saved. I plead guilty. I recognize that you died for me, Jesus, and I give you my life. And we take the blood and we take the bread and we say, yes, I'm in covenant. But then we look at our lives every day and we think, maybe God is not my king in many areas. That's one first question to ask. Is God my king in all the details of my life? And I will say, he's not the king of all the details of my life. But what is God showing me today? One area that he wants to be a Lord, a Lord. And very often, we can be scared of giving our lives to Jesus or giving new areas of our lives because we're so used to be betrayed and to be offended. And God says, no, I'm a good king. Jesus is a good king. He's a good shepherd. So you can trust him with whatever is bothering you. Maybe you've been betrayed. Maybe you've been hurt. But the kingdom of God is good. It's perfect. So I want to encourage you to give an area that you feel, you know that he's not Lord. Maybe this morning you say, I want to give you my life because you're not a king like the king of the nations. You're not a king like the leaders of our world. You're a good king, and I want to trust this area of my life. Maybe you're not in covenant with God this morning. Maybe it's the first time you come to church and you hear about Jesus. So maybe your king, is fully a king of the nations with all different things. All sorts of things which are not according to God. If that's the case and you hear that, I would encourage you to come to Jesus and make him king of your life. To say, oh Lord, I've been following other kings which are not good. I want to trust you as the good shepherd. And you've sensed this morning through the service that God is good. We've felt joy this morning. We've felt the presence of God. We've felt his peace. We've felt the anointing of his Holy Spirit through prayer. This is the God that we want to serve. This is the king that we want to have. Who is your king? Who is your king? Do you want to stop fighting about maybe not forgiving someone? I've heard in churches, other churches of course, that maybe some people stop talking to each other. Because one day he said, well, he doesn't say hello to me. So I'm not going to say hello anyway. And so I go to church and I make sure I don't sit next to them. Now that's not God's kingdom. That's the kingdom of the other side. Because the other side, which is the devil, he wants to split us. He doesn't want us to be in fellowship. He wants us to stay on our own and to have grudges. That's the other king. That's the devil. God says, no, you need to forgive. Because when you forgive, my kingdom is established more and more in your life. You need to love. You need to be giving yourself. You need to make yourself more fragile so my kingdom can come through you. What is blocking you? What is the area in your life that you're not submitting to Jesus? Because you're fearful, because you've learned in your life before that it's dangerous to trust. But that's where God is waiting. He's waiting for me to trust him, so that his kingdom can come, his kingship can come, and be established more. Who do you want to submit your life to? Who do you want to submit your life to? Oops, go back. I want to pray with you. Just in a few words, sharing. God wants to be our King, a good King, because He loves us. Lord, I pray this morning, thank you that you are here through the Holy Spirit, and you are showing each one, Lord, an area of our lives that's not really in submission. Lord, forgive us because we've been fearful of entrusting you. We've been scared of trusting you, of giving you that area. We want to stop believing in the other king. We want to stop trusting the other king because it's not bearing fruit. But we want to begin to believe you, to trust you as a king for this new area of our lives. We want to open the doors maybe of a cupboard that's been locked for years. And we need your light to come into that cupboard of our lives so we'll be more ourselves. We'll be more like what you've made us to be individually and as a group. So come in power this morning, Lord Jesus. Don't leave us alone. Once we leave the church building, we go home. Don't let us close the cupboard again. In your grace, in your love, pursue us until we give you our lives more fully. And we thank you because, Lord, you do exactly that. That's who you are. You come. You've come from heaven to earth to show us the way, but also to pursue us with your love, that we could be yours and have the life in abundance. Amen.